And welcome to another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. I didn't think I was going to do one this week. I've been tired. I will admit that work lately is so engrossing that I haven't been wanting to podcast or stuff. Like I'm just exhausted. Like I'm getting too old for this shit. But here I am. Barb's getting her hair cut. I thought I could get about a half hour in. Talk about some books I recently procured. These ones I didn't plan on, and they weren't on my list. They just seemed like interesting books to pick up. I don't own many heroic comics, but I picked up Captain Thunder and Blue Bolt number one. This is volume two. I picked up the Champions mini series. This is based on that role-playing game. This is the first mini series, I think, from Eclipse Comics. Didn't realize I already had it. Okay, so I have an extra Champions mini series of that six volumes, but I didn't have the hero version of Champions. And I got like 10 issues of that. I was missing a couple issues in there, but it's 10 issues, but it goes 1 through 12, so I'm missing like 2 issues. And then a Champions Annual, and then there was a comic called L The League of Champions from Hero Comics, Hero Pu Heroic Publishing or Hero Publishing. Rose number 2 and 3. I miss number 1. And one of them came with a card. Didn't notice it until now. And Marksman number one, Flare versus Tigress. I think this is Tigress number one, but I haven't been able to find this one in my database. So, at least with this cover. So I don't know if it's like an alternate cover. Flare number two, number four. And yeah, I picked those up just because they looked striking and they were odd. Probably more than what they're worth. I would think that you could get these books for a dollar, and I think I paid $2 each, but I did it anyway. They were in good shape though. Also got in the John Sable Freelance Omnibus Volume 1 that my girl put together. This was a long wait in the process, but this book is big and it's hefty. I mean, the weight on this motherfucker, it seems like it's about 10 pounds. It's pretty beefy. It came with some prints. It came with like a cover. What is this? A freelance writing? Like what? It looks like the letters pages of these volumes, which is very odd but cool. A deck of cards from John Sable and like a promotional remastered poster, which is kind of cool. So got that, and then the next thing I got is the Doom Patrol. That this was one of my goals of this year, and I haven't gotten. I got a few from Dawn's paperback books. I think I got like five, and I just picked up issue 86. Really nice condition, about fine to very fine condition on eBay. It's this 86 is really the first issue of the Doom Patrol proper. It's continued from My Greatest Adventures number 85. It is the first appearance of Madame Rogue, Monsieur Malat, and the Brain. So, there you go, some of the major villains that the Doom Patrol often deals with. And finally got that one, so now I have 87 through 92 consecutively, and now I need 93 through 97, and then a few of them towards the end. But I don't think I'll achieve that. Doom Patrol is a harder book. Like if it was a Marvel title, I could probably get it quicker. But I'll have to probably like piecemeal these through eBay, and that's always pretty expensive because it used to be nice because eBay didn't have taxes and all that other shit. But by the time you add taxes and shipping and all that, it's quite expensive. And then you usually can't go one-stop shopping. You have to go to many sources. So yeah, we'll see how that pans out. But that was a good pickup. And then I've been doing this thing on Twitter where I post like the first issue of Aquaman that I own, or the first issue of, and that like in my case, it's like the first his first appearance in Showcase. So, and I've been doing that with many comics, and I started to do Judo Master this morning, and I realized I don't have a full run of Judo Master. Not only that, I don't have his first appearance, so I'd really like to fill that Judo Master Charlton Comics collection at some point. But that's all I had for miscellaneous stuff. The other comic related thing I did this week was I discovered the movie The Deep. Okay, this is like a 1980 movie. I always wanted to see it, never did. I always thought it was at the time, like I was real big into Jaws in the 70s, and I was like, The Deep is going to be like a shark movie. And later on, like maybe 3 years ago, I bought the Deep adaptation from Marvel Comics. And I'm like, this isn't no shark movie. But it was really good and engrossing. And probably one of the better Marvel adaptations that I've read. And I was like, I really gotta watch this. And I just finished watching Maneater, another shark movie on Hulu, I think it was. And I just said, I wonder if they have The Deep. So I started poking around, and on Tubi it had The Deep. It starts Nick Nolte and Jacqueline Bassett, and it has Louis Gossett Jr. in it. Those are the big names. There's probably other bigger names, but they weren't familiar to me. But yeah, it's an incredible underwater heist adventure with two warring factions. There was a ship that had munitions in World War II that was sunk, and it had a lot of morphine, and that's what they're after. They're not after the old munitions, they're after the morphine, because they could resell the morphine, turn it into another drug, and that's what they're after. But what they discover is they actually discover that ship had other stuff on the manifest that was sort of hidden, that was like gold related and stuff like that, and it turns out to be like just this really cool adventure. But it's cool because in this case, I had read the comic adaptation before the actual movie, but I really enjoyed the hell out of it. And yeah, it took me three exercise sessions to get through it with commercials in there, because it was over 2 hours with the commercials, but it was well worth it. And also ran into the Final Countdown, which is a movie I've always loved about an aircraft carrier that goes to the Bermuda Triangle and goes back in time. That one. And then I've been watching a shit ton of The Love Boat. So, that's what's going on in my life. And reading comics, the two that were outstanding today, I didn't read much. I woke up this morning, went to the storage unit, couldn't get into my unit because the door wouldn't open. I wanted to get some books for the next Geek Brunch and had issues, but I went later on and did get them. And we went to the early feature of Ant-Man, and it was good. I enjoyed it. I thought Michelle Pfeiffer looked absolutely gorgeous. It's weird because I think she looks better than Evangeline Lilly, and she plays her daughter. But I thought it was a good. I thought the guy who plays Kang, which we've already met through the Loki TV series, was really good. He's gonna make an interesting villain, but to tell you the truth, he's never been one of my favorites. Well, he's been in some of my favorite stories, like Avengers Forever and a couple other ones. But I'm not a time jumping kind of guy in stories, and he's a time villain. And Yeah, but I thought it was a good movie. I thought the MODAK thing was ridiculous. Like, I'd rather have had him come through the AIM and through another channel with them with the origin they gave him, which I didn't like. But it is what it is. It was my least favorite of the three Ant-Man movies in terms of plot. I enjoyed the other two a lot more. It could be that I'm just getting overwhelmed by the superhero content. But I thought Cocaine Bear was outstanding. Like, that was one of the better movies I've seen this year because I laughed and I was very, very entertained with that movie. I needed something like that, you know, like a palate cleanser from all the material that's coming out. And I would have saw Creed today instead of Ant-Man 3, but Barb hadn't seen Creed 2 yet. So there's that. And she's out getting her hair cut and I getting talking too much. So I'm gonna see if I have any questions. I know I'm running short, but I'm pretty sure I have a few. So upset I can't get on these surveys on Twitter more than 30 votes, or sometimes I could get 40. Like, I got 48 one time for DC Spotlight. Pick this next book to read, and I don't even care if it's people that don't listen. I can't get people to vote. Like, I just want 50. How hard is it fucking to get 50? I think I answered that. So I gotta remove that. Let's see. Remove. JT Jack Idolfonso asked one of his first questions. I don't think he's asked a question from me before, but it's a good one. He asks, "What is your comic book process after reading? Bags and boards, Mylars, one board, two boards, then bag." And he said, "Thanks, Mike." It's a good question. I've gone over it in the past. My question, my what I usually do is I get my DCBS box or I get my comics from the LCS. Or whatever else I get in the back issues, and the first thing I do, absolute first thing I do, is I log them into the database. So, well, no, that's not true. The first thing I do is I organize them by title and company when I open them. So, like DC will be A through Z, and Marvel will be A through Z, and then Independence will be by publisher, A through Z, and then A through Z within the publisher. So I do all that, and then I get my barcode scanner and I scan them all into my database of choice, which is Comic Base, so they're inventoried. Sometimes the back issues won't have a barcode, so I enter them in. They're in the database. All I have to do is say quantity one. I'll do that. I get them inventoried. Usually the back issues are already bagged and boarded, and if the bag is bad or if it's a high priced item, I'll put it in Mylar in a backing board. I have started going back to the Silver Age backing board versus the half back because of weight. I notice a huge difference in lifting the box going up and down stairs. And really, it's for my own benefit to have the less weighted book. And it's less on shipping cost because I get them from eGerber. So as soon as I've inventoried them, then I get bag and board them and I leave the flap up and I put them into a box of unread. And then when I do read them, I close the flap, tape it, and put it into a red box and then label like when I read, because I keep a track of when I read the books, and they get filed in a red box and they get put into the storage unit. So that is the process. And I have over 91,000 comic books, so I can't really do merges anymore. It's near impossible. Maybe when I retire, I'll be able to do some here and there. But I know where my stuff is at, so that's the process. I never use two boards. Matter of fact, I'm getting too weak. I'm over 50, and the weight is getting tough. So I hope that answers your question. What are your top three back issues on your want list? They would probably be like, I still need some caps to finish, but they're not high price caps. They're under $100. So I would just say the top three back issues I would like to purchase. I'd really like that Judo Master if I could get it. The first appearance of Judo Masters in Special Wars series, number 4. I would really like to get that. For a decent copy, like a 5.0 or a 6.0, it's like $500. But I could go into a 4.0 in raw instead of graded. And if I got it in graded, it would come out of the thing anyway. I'm looking at like 99. Like there's this copy I'm looking at. It Charlton made a lot of, like, they were not good with the printing process. And there's one that's missing a staple, but not because the staple came out. It never was stapled. So it's a really nice looking copy, and I'm tempted to get that for $99, but we'll see. Would like to get that. I would like to continue the path of the Doom Patrol, which would lead me into my greatest adventures. I already have their first appearance in some of their earlier books, but some of those could be quite expensive and the fine and above. So I'm looking to fill that space, and that would probably be my next two. But I run into shit all the time. Like my next Aaron Myers has a bunch of older issues, 'cause as I run into good options for the X-Men and for Avengers and filling some old stuff in the Silver Age, I jump on it. I should just stay focused, but I don't. So hopefully, Dallo, that answers your question. He also asked, have you seen Liam Sharp's art on XO? It looks incredible. Yeah, I'm a fan of Liam Sharp's art, especially his Death's Head and like what he did with Green Lantern. I thought was some of his best work. I wasn't crazy about his latest Batman stint. I don't know if it was too dark or obfuscated, but I didn't care for it. His XO stuff though does look good. It looks really good, so I'm looking forward to it. Not sure about the writing team though. Haven't heard good things. I don't know who the writing team is, but I'm sure it'll be fine for me. You're a little more picky, I think, Dallo. I've been enjoying Valiant. Your next question, thoughts on Comixology situation? I know they fired some people recently, but I think it was part of their merger process. Comixology might not exist as Comixology, but it exists as Amazon Comics, and it'll always exist as that. So you'll always have your books. I don't think it's going anywhere. You'll always have your sales. You'll always have whatever, if they rebranded to Kindle Unlimited instead of Comixology Unlimited, it'll still be there. I still use it. I do like having it. I've been reading a lot of Zenoscope stuff digitally on the Alice in Wonderland Zenoscope world lately. So I'm good with it. I do think their app is horribly bad, like for making suggestions for me or for telling me what's new on the app for the month. It seems like I have to more or less know what I'm looking for and then search for it. to navigate it rather than it be like a Netflix and suggest things to me and make them like Tubi and say, "Oh, you just watched The Deep. I think you would like The Bounty and Final Countdown." Like, I like shit like that. That's what I want to see when, like I read something. You don't get any of that. The next question is, what's your ratio of digital reading versus physical reading 12 months ago and now an estimated in 12 months' time? It's about the same. A lot of times I have the physical comics and I'll read the digital. For example, I have Dark Crisis, right? And I have the app, so I read Dark Crisis just for convenience because I don't want to turn the light on at 3 a.m. in the morning and my iPad is right there. And as I can't sleep because I'm thinking about work or whatever, I'll try to read myself to sleep and I'll pop up, oh, I need to read Dark Crisis for the next DC Spotlight. So I'll pop that up on the app. Or, like I said, read some Zenoscope or Marvel Unlimited. Sometimes I'll go back and read something from there. I've been reading a lot of X-Men on digitally, even ones that I have physically. Like, I don't think I buy a lot of X-Men, but I do read them, all of them digitally. So I'm currently only collecting X-Men, X-Factor, New Mutants, but it's gone away, and Wolverine. Those are kind of my X books, but I'm reading Marauders and X-Men Red and all that other stuff digitally. So I hope that gives you an idea. Sometimes I'm in the DC app and I just read it because it's convenient and it's in the middle of the night. And sometimes I'll just, even though I have it physically, that's pretty much. And I'm trying to be more conscious of that, and but sometimes the compulsion, especially with DC Comics, like I just can't detach myself. I've been successful in other, like Marvel and other stuff, saying, oh, I'll just read that in the app, or but I really wish that the Comixology app, the Unlimited, would have more of what I want to read from independents. And if there was an image app, I'd probably, it's reasonably priced, I'd probably get that. But yeah, I'd like to decrease some of the physical, for all the reasons that I've mentioned. I'm getting old, lifting is issue, storage is definitely an issue, and just getting older has got me thinking about stuff, right? I've been thinking about lately, because I'm getting close to retirement if I want to retire early. And I'm like trying to think of all the different options I have, to get me through at least the 5 years till I hit 60. But, then you start realizing how much you spend on shit that, well, I guess you don't need. And I'm like, wow, I don't know what'll happen. But I don't think I'm going to be retiring at 55. But I would like to decrease my comic intake for sure. And be more focused. Focus the collection, maybe get rid of some of the collection and focus on some of the stuff that I want to complete and keep. Yeah, there's a lot of difficult. The one thing, there's two things that I've decreased on that get me itchy. What I mean is, itchy is like, I'm almost like, I can't take it. I really want to go back to getting it, or the Epic Collections. I really enjoy those things. I'm not getting them anymore in the Star Wars comics, like especially Star Wars proper, Star Wars Darth Vader, and Star Wars Bounty Hunters. Those ones I really liked, but I stopped. And yeah, it's kind of crazy. But I think that wraps up all of the issues, and I only have 15 minutes left, so I'm going to try to talk to what I read. And we'll start with books that I read on January 8th through January 15th. We'll start with the movies that month I wa or that week I watched Valley of the Dead. That was a zombie film, World War II zombie film, on Netflix, I believe. It was a foreign film, I think from Spain, and it was kind of interesting. It was satirical in points, but it was interesting. I also watched Day of the Dead Bloodline. This was sort of a remake of Day of the Dead, if you had watched the original George Romero, where one of the zombies learned to talk and all that. I think his name was Bud. Well, it had this one. It was kind of like a remake in its different situation, but it was interesting. I gave both of those a 4 out of 5, and then I gave the live action Death Note, which really surprised me. Really surprised me. I gave it a 5 out of 5. That was on Netflix. I loved it, and so much so that I tried to go and watch the anime and didn't like it. But we'll talk about that later. So that week I read 29 comics, 4 Zenoscope, 3 Scout, 7 Marvel, 8 Image, 5 DC, 1 Cherry Bomb, and 1 Behemoth. We'll start with the 3 out of 5s. We had Venom number 14. Venom is being used as a tool in New York to fight Madeline Pryor. So this is all part of the dark web. In my opinion, Venom is close to getting the axe. Because it's overextending itself and not being focused as its own thing. And now we're entering another Venom Carnage thing, and it kind of drives me nuts. And while I did enjoy parts of Dark Web, Venom wasn't one of them. That was a 3 out of 5, though, meaning I liked it. I didn't hate it, or did not just like it. I was entertained. The Brooding Muse I had more hope for. I was a little lost in it. It was from Cherry Bomb. It was a magazine, black and white magazine, in the vein of creepy and eerie. It had wonderful artwork, very nice visual presentation, but the stories, for the most part to me, were incomprehensible, except for the last one, which was a meteor shower story, which I enjoyed. I get the gist of them. I'm not lost. I just don't feel like it's clicking with me. And I had already pre-ordered 2 more volumes of the Brooding Muse, but I discontinued it with 4. And I figured as long as I have my Warrant comics, I'll still it was Shudder and the Vampyra series, I'll be fine. We have from the 3 out of 5, we have Scorched, which is Image Spawn book. We got Soul Crusher fights through the darkness and wants to kill medieval Spawn because of the death of Natasha. They form an unholy alliance. The curse is defeated by the Scorched because of medieval Spawn and Soul Crusher arriving unexpectedly. We then get into the 4 out of 5s. We have Amazing Spider-Man number 16. A large fight between Ben and Peter. Peter finds out Ben and J. Jonah Jameson and Robinson. Well, Ben took them to Limbo, and Robbie Robinson as well, and he must rescue them. Of the dark web, I did like Spider-Man better than Venom, but not as much as the X-Men Dark Web, or the Mary Jane or Miss Marvel Dark Web. Those ones I liked more. The next one we had was a Scout book. It was the Ballad of Gordon Barleycorn. He's a failed singer-songwriter that creates a play with a puppeteer, which is somewhat successful and helps him pay a debt that he seems like to be in an infinite debt. But it's humorous. The art is very crazy, very underground looking, and it might be for you if you're into underground comics. I think this would be really for you. I enjoyed it. Exterminators number 4. These are 4 out of 5s, by the way, ever since we passed Scorched. Exterminators number 4. This one I really enjoyed. More story why Dracula is assuring the team, is accusing the team for crimes against the Vampire Nation. It had some very funny scenes. This could go both ways. If the humor works for you, I think you'll really enjoy it. If it doesn't, you could possibly hate the book. But I think Boom Boom, the banter between Boom Boom and Jubilee is just fantastic. Dazzler is great in it. X-23, Wolverine is good in it as well. But I think the star of it is Jubilee. I really like it. We then get to Dark Web X-Men. We talked about this. This one focuses on Madeline Pryor, and she's fascinating to me. And has Alex and Scott trapped in limbo and is raising havoc in New York. Jean Grey is trying to get to Madeline with Ilyandra in limbo. The Madeline Pryor part of Dark Web is the part that's worth it to me, makes the event worthwhile. The Ben Parker less so. Yeah, I enjoyed this Dark Web X-Men. Sergeant Rock versus the Army of the Dead number 4. Dressed as Nazis, the team is in a truck trying to catch up with a scientist and are having to go through many Nazi checkpoints. It was a pretty cool adventure. We then get to Illusion Witch number 1, which I think was a Kickstarter, but then from that point on became a Behemoth book with number 1 again. I have the Behemoth one. A young woman is raised by her father to be a magician. She becomes successful, but after losing a child, things become difficult for her, and she won't even go to her kids' fundraisers. In other words, they have fundraisers for the disease that her kid died in, and she won't go to them. The art is really good. The story is really intriguing. If you like magic, it's even better. I think it's worth getting. Gunslinger Spawn 13 and 14. Gunslinger goes after the escaped cowboys that killed him. He gets revenge on one of them by dragging his ass behind a horse, the same way that he was dragged behind a horse when he died. Another who is posing as a preacher who now molests kids. We have King Spawn number 16 and 17. Al unites with Terry and tries to get him to join his side. Al has a team led by Wynn searching in hell for Wanda. Brimstone is there to stop his team. A cool-looking character with the skull on his head. Brimstone looks really cool. Would make a great action figure, actually. Al fights Behemoth, who is a representation of the deity that killed those kids in earlier issues. We have Spawn 334 and 335. Jim Downing, Mark Hunt, and Overkill go after and defeat Spawn. Jim is working with Nyx. Sin Kane goes to Omega Island with his team to defeat the clown, and the clown brings in a fallen angel, Abel. Mark tries to call She-Spawn for help, but Overkill interrupts. We then have Behemoth from Scout Comics. It was the Scout Morning that week. I read a lot of Scout books, and this one was by friends I've actually met. Chris Kopiniak and J.K. Woodward. And they did a fantastic job on this book about a daughter who's mutated and retrieved by the government. It's about like mutant monster kids. We have Alice in Wonderland 3 through 6 from Zenoscope. Alex works with the Queen of Spades and Red Queen to go after the Queen of Hearts and the Jabberwocky with her chess army. She does defeat them, but at what cost? We have Sandman number 13 and 14. This is the original Sandman. This is the story where Sandman and Death enter a bar and make someone who who does not want to die immortal. Sandman, and this I really liked in the TV show as well. Sandman and him meet every 100 years at the bar, also the first occurrence of Joanna Constantine. The immortal friend also mentions Jason Blood as being another immortal to Sandman, not nearly as good as the TV show, which combined this with the death issue number 8, which was a separate from Dollhouse, the serial convention in Dollhouse with the serial killers. I'm going to have to pause here now. Harley wanted to go out, so I'm going to have to go and can't read my notes when I'm reading these. But Peter Parker, Spider-Man 22, Sandman is dying because of the Venom bite, so he goes after Spider-Man. Spider-Man disintegrates. Disintegrates, but is later found on the beach. Peter has. Sandman disintegrates. Why did I say Spider-Man? Peter has an awkward situation as Robbie and his girlfriend enter the apartment, and Peter is singing naked in front of the fridge eating ice cream. That was pretty funny. Amazing Spider-Man 23. And these aren't the current series, these are like Volume 2, I believe, Amazing Spider-Man, and Volume 1 of Peter Parker Spider-Man. Not the Spectacular Spider-Man, Peter Parker Spider-Man. Amazing Spider-Man explains the backstory between Ward, Ranger, and Arthur, and the alien pathogen that leads to the event called Maximum Security. Agent of World, this is a scout book. This is one drawn with hyper detail and also was strange about an organization that patrols the timeline and destroys anomalies. And he has sex energy weapon. Really like that one. We got Tim Drake, Robin number 4. Tim is finding more clues about who the killer may be and asks for help with Spoiler and Batgirl. Now I have to take a pause to let Harley in. It's a cold day. We're probably about 20, 22 degrees today. She doesn't stay out long. Goes out, takes care of business, and then comes back. But hopefully I unpause this stupid recorder, which I think I did. Yeah, I'm recording again. We get to the 5 out of 5s. Robin Annual number 1. This is the origin of Flatline. This was really good. This is Damian, not Tim Drake. And then have 5 out of 5. Amazing Spider-Man 22. This is the guys are trying to figure out how to make rent, and Pete makes his way with Jill to see that Arthur has gone nuts about Senator Ward and is trying to protect his kids. The symbiote is separated from Eddie as he wants to kill Spider-Man for the death of his ex. Spidey puts a tracer on Ward, but it is discovered. Spidey takes out the world peace with violence. Armored soldiers. Senator Ward's bound to space virus and he's trying to kill the symbiote. Harley won't let me record, so I'm going to go as fast as I can. The next week is January 16th through January 22nd. The movie I watched was Near Dark. That's a vampire movie that is a really interesting one. One that they actually use like blood fusion to make you. To become unvampired, but blood transfusion, it's pretty really cool story. It's probably the third, fourth time I watched it. I hadn't seen it streaming anywhere in a long time, and it showed up. We have a total of 17 comics, 5 Zenoscope, 2 Marvel, 1 Kickstarter, 8 Dynamite, 1 Charlton. And actually, that should be. Well, that's right. We have the 3 out of 5s, All Out Avengers number 2. Didn't buy this one. Read it digitally. Dark Doom fights the Avengers with Doom. I'm kind of glad that I stud this one out, but I am gonna read it digitally. I think it's worth reading for sure. It's kind of like done in one adventure stories with really good art. At least I think so. Bad Wolf number 1. We have in World War II, soldiers are attacked by werewolves. In the present, there is a female hunting down the werewolves. It was a good Kickstarter, but since I gave it a 3 out of 5, I didn't go with the second issue. The 4 out of 5s were Doomsday Plus One. This is the the John Byrne Charlton comic, number 5. And in this one, the crew of the Doomsday Patrol notice something down below, and they land, or they get shot down, and they find this crew that holds them captive, and then they have to escape and then get back in the air. But they thought they were going to be in a peaceful to try to recruit more humans, and they ended up in a situation with a military outfit that wanted to kill them. And they had more nuclear weapons. We have Wolverine 25, Wolverine and the Sword Guy confront the Celestial, and Wolverine passes the test. The other guy leaves with the woman and is cha cha that is chasing them. Wolverine and the History of Bars, like, is the second part of the story where Wolverine's going and visiting bars and saying how much he likes to drink. That was actually really good. The Sword of X is where this other being from Mars gets involved in the swords that the X-Men are after. He's the character I'm talking about, and I can never remember his name. Grim Fairy Tales, Wonderland, 2012 annual, another Alice in Wonderland special. We have Red Sonja, Red Citha, number 3 and 4. Red Citha, looking for her parents, is betrayed by her own brother. They work together to defeat the foe, but still need to find the parents. Red Sonja does come to save the day at the end. We have Immortal Red Sonja number 3 through 8. Red Sonja's journey with her armor, who is possessed by King Arthur, turns out to be Mordred, the son of King Arthur. So that was really good. We have Grimm Fairy Tales. Is that the son of Merlin? I can't remember. Maybe it's the son of Merlin, not King Arthur. Correct me. Send me an at Mike Myers tweet. I like to get tweets. And then we have Grim Fairy Tales, Call of Wonderland. This is another story specifically about the daughter and the daughter of Alice. It gets really convoluted, but Alice in Wonderland is really, really good. Like, it's really good and really crazy continuity there. 4 out of 5. So let's go to the top books for the 2 weeks that I did. Robin Annual number 1 from DC Comics. This was Damian, The Origin of Flatline, and Amazing Spider-Man volume 2, number 22, which had a lot going on. And then the top book for the next week was Grim Fairy Tales, Call of Wonderland, and Immortal Red Sonja. But there were no 5 out of 5s that week. So I want to thank you for joining me on this journey. And please send me questions. I am clean out of questions at Mike Myers Brunch on Twitter. That's MikeMyersBrunch on Twitter. Or you can send me email at mike@comicbooknoise.com. I don't get much emails, but I like to get them. And then you can go to the site at geekbrunchpodcast.com. Click the like button on Facebook and follow the episode threads there. And we'll hopefully see you in a week or two, because I've been pretty lazy and not catching up, but doing 2 weeks at a time. So we'll see you soon, and you take care, and I wish the best for you. So take care, everyone. Bye.